Nora, yep. Since you introduced us to Tyler, would you like to introduce Tyler?
Oh, sorry, I don't want to. You're good. Well, I'm going to completely stop. But as soon as you guys want to like start the actual show, I'm going to go off the
rails. Go off the rails, baby. You're allowed to go off the rails. That's all we do.
Welcome to Useless. I'm Nora Noble, a professional xylophone player.
Oh my God, we're actually doing this? God damn it.
You're fine.
But I'm a bug gardener, and I cannot spell xylophone.
I'm Tyler Fugit. I'm owner, manager, and lead singer of the band Juicy Jake and the Trombone Salesman. We're playing at a theater near you now that COVID's over. It's fucking juicy. Everybody in there sucks, but God damn it, we're going to fucking throw you off the edge. It's going to be the worst thing you've ever seen. I'm telling you. Like, we have one song just called Screaming Pig for 30 seconds. Let me tell you, it goes on for way longer than 30 seconds.
Wait. So the song is called Screaming Pig for 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
And the song is longer than 30 seconds.
I mean, it's probably about 4.5 hours. It took us a very long time. I mean, the biggest problem, I think, was getting the pig to actually scream. I mean, because here's the thing. You can find a lot of stock noises of pigs screaming online, but it's never as sexy as a fucking actual pig screaming its guts out.
You're also
in the studio. Yeah.
So we had to really just we had to genetically engineer this pig that never stopped screaming. You have to wear earmuffs like that funny Harry Potter scene with the root people. And then, you know what? After about 4.5 hours of that, maybe about 6.5, we're not really sure yet. It continues on and on. Let me just say, Laurie Anderson could eat her heart out. That shit fucking slaps. Knee slaps your kidneys. It's fucking everything.
Slaps your kidneys.
How did we get here?
So Useless is canceled because that's the best intro we'll ever have. This is going to be one of hopefully many bonus episodes where we have a guest on.
Sorry, I just don't know how we got here.
I don't know where we go from this.
First guest going strong. Good job, Nora.
You're really setting the bar very high for everybody that comes after you. The kind of format Kevin and I foresaw for this, instead of our usual back and forth between him and I, is doing kind of an interview section to get to know our guest, and then the second half being our guest telling us something we don't know, or, you know, sharing useless information like we do. Kevin.
And we'll have a recommendation corner in the middle as well, so you can recommend some stuff to us.
Yeah,
that's what I'm so happy about. I very rarely get the opportunity to talk about things that I don't hate, and that's what I'm so excited about.
See, it's fun because you're doing all the work. You entertain us.
Yeah. Oh,
you know what? I'm looking at some of the notes that I wrote, and I really hope I can comprehend them myself.
Well, you know what? As long as we can get into like a half hour ish.
Ooh. Okay.
Ooh. So, Nora, would you like to start? Oh,
I can.
Nora.
I can start. I can start.
You know, we are off our game. We just had an out-of-body experience.
We're also, I think, very used to being like, "What do you know?" Now tell me, what do you know? So
we're pushing our boundaries.
Let's start with an easy one. So, Tyler. What's sexier, a cowboy, a ninja, or a Viking?
Cowboys, 110%. I know you guys are thinking Vikings are probably the number one, but you guys really want – I know what, I'm going to fucking piss off the Swedes here, but you guys really think like, I'm going to get you. That's how every single Swedish person talks. And they're just coming at you with their big bone clubs, and they're like, oh, would you listen here? And they talk like – some of them are Scottish. We've all seen that funny movie. You know, they call it Braveheart. I'm going to say everybody in there was a Viking. That's completely historically and cinematically inaccurate. But they're not sexy. Sure, they're a little bit ripped. But, I mean, they die at the age of 15 because they're getting stabbed by bone clubs of the opposite clan. I'm going to call one clan the Blood Killers. And I'm going to call the other clan the Blood Eaters. There's a lot of confusion. They get really pissed off. It's like the Blood in the Crypts, except it takes place in 1592. It's really cold. Everybody hates each other. And then... I was going to say, I completely forgot what I was even talking about for a second.
Oh, boys are sexy.
Ninjas are this. They're mysterious. They're cold. They're sexy. We all understand that. They are sexy. I'm not saying they're not sexy, but do you really want a man who's just going to hide away all the time? Sure, he hides up in the corner. I mean, he's always there, but is he always there? He's there physically, but not emotionally. You know, full fact that he's up there. He's chilling out. He's always watching over you. but he's always watching for enemies too. The focus is never 110% on you. Mm-hmm. And I think that, while it may be sexy physically, it's not sexy emotionally. But cowboys, those guys are rough, dirty. They'll eat a whole fucking raw chicken right in front of you. They'll look you dead in the eye while doing it. And then it's crazy too. They're fucking rugged as hell. I mean, they'll climb up a brick wall with their bare hands. I mean, every single cowboy in the entire world, their fingers are just nubs because they're climbing up brick walls. They're climbing up everything. They're beating people up. They're clawing out people's eyes. They're digging holes in the ground. They're dirty, disgusting, filthy dogs. But you look at their chest, barrel-chested, ripped as hell, pecs as big as the goddamn sky itself, and you look at them and you think, that's a true man right there. I'm not talking about man in this gender-conforming society that we live in. I'm talking about when you think of the word man, you think, my God, look at that man over there. He's about to shoot me with his big gun the size of a watermelon. And I think, damn, I hope they take me into the sunset on their big, giant, very scary-looking horse, which, I don't know, I imagine every cowboy in my head, I know you guys probably think of a horse with four legs. I think of a horse with like six legs and it has like bulging eyes. It's not really a horse in the end, but I really do think that when a cowboy rides a horse, it almost transmogrifies. The horse is like, I'll be whatever you want me to be, Mr. Cowboy, because you're the sexiest one in the world. And the cowboy does a finger guns back at him.
This is a man who has played Red Dead Redemption.
I would just very much like to point out that he has no prior knowledge of any of the questions we're going to ask, because Nora and I did not have any prior knowledge of the questions we were going to ask until about 30 minutes ago. So that was just completely on the spot.
I love that.
Can I really just say too, I watched this documentary recently because it was on YouTube for free. I mean, because you guys know the internet's free and it's not a good thing. And there's this documentary called Zoo. I don't know if this is too explicit, but I don't know if you guys ever heard of this situation that happened in a farm in like 2005, the year of our Lord and Savior, whatever the fuck it's called. You know, you guys know that guy in the sky fucking gym or whatever his name is.
Sky Daddy.
Anyway, Sky Daddy. Fucking, he's just, I mean, he's up there in the sky in his clouds. He's looking down, but he did the worst thing imaginable. Sure, he's made floods. He's caused famine. But in 2005, it could be 2003. I don't know. The years of the 2000s always blend in, even this year. But in 2000, whatever the year is, this guy went to a farm, and it was just some guy's farm. They did not know the guy, I don't believe. And he just, like, had sex with a horse, and then he died. He was, like, an engineer, too. He was, like, an aeronautical engineer. He died from the horse because, you know, you can't do that. I know we all say that, but, I mean, he actually tested it out. He's like, oh, they say I can't, but I'm going to. And the horse is called Mr. Hands. And they made a documentary explaining his life. They're like, how did this aeronautical engineer die in such a horrific and, may we say, unsexy way? And they go about it, and it's a very touching documentary, despite the fact at the end, you're like, that man fucked a horse. Or maybe it'd be better.
Or did the horse fuck him? I guess that's really.
The horse did fuck him, and that's the worst part about it. But usually I'd say, like, the horse fucked him. But it's like, horse fucked him. Fucked him too goddamn hard. Either way, don't type in zoo on YouTube. It is free. I recommend you watch it, but also I don't recommend it. I don't want to be sued for whatever may happen. Anyway, sorry.
So I have a question.
I had to tell it to somebody. I had to tell
No, it's all good.
No, I understand.
I mean, I learned recently, so I think most people know or are vaguely aware of the fact that Christopher Columbus fucked a llama, right? Turns out he also fucked manatees because he thought they were mermaids.
Did he actually fuck a manatee?
Hey, that's a lot of information.
He wrote about it in his journal. Because do you know what? Apparently manatees have womanly knees.
That's a lot of information to dump on me all at once without any explanation. I don't think that's quite fair.
But
I'm sorry, he fucked a llama? Can we go back to that?
Yeah, apparently. So that's sometimes attributed to how people, like how we have syphilis, is that Christopher Columbus fucked a llama. Obviously, I don't think that's very true, but he did fuck a llama.
The quote, save your drama for your llama. I mean, that takes it completely different.
He really saved his drama for that llama.
He was saving it up for a long time, and especially for the manatees too. But here's the thing. When I look at a llama, okay, here's the thing. Alpacas. Those things are cute as hell, but a llama, it's awesome. Like a feral version.
Yeah, llamas are big and ugly.
They're like, because whenever I thought in my head of like a llama, for whatever reason, an alpaca would pop up. And then I'd be like, oh, well, they're like the same animal. They're not.
No.
They're like disgusting, hideous creatures. And I'm sure somebody's going to be like, well, I'm a llama farmer. We'll fuck you and your family. Anyway,
llamas spit on you because they hate you. Alpacas spit on you out of fear and defense. Yes. Alpacas are what you use for fur. Llamas are what you use to defend your livestock.
Yes.
Oh, because then you look at like their teeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like not, you wouldn't go up to this and be like, oh, I can pet it. You'd be like, that thing's going to bite me.
It actually bites. You can also only ever have one llama because if you get two, they'll form a clique and will beat up any other animal that comes near them.
Mm-hmm. I had a friend. So I was a fair person, whatever. I had a friend, Coral, if you're listening. Hello. She raised alpacas and she educated me a lot on the difference between them. Alpacas are cute and they're tiny and they're, you know, little scared things. Llamas will fuck your day up. But Tyler, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Have you ever taken Adderall?
I actually just started recently. This is going to be a really serious answer, but what I did is I actually started recently because I was in a movie type situation. This is going to get where it's kind of gets a little bit fucked up, but for years I was given three separate medications by this one doctor. I kept telling her, like, I was like, I'm not depressed. I don't have anxiety. I don't feel like I have any sort of anxiety at all. I don't feel like I have any kind of depression. And she was just like, no, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yeah. And it was a very weird situation where she kept giving me like stronger and stronger pills. And I kept like, and I've never in my life wanted to, and I'll say it explicitly, wanted to blow my brains out that much. But, after, you know what, the common sense thing to have done many months before I waited for as long as I did, I should have been like, yo, I feel like I'm in fucking like some fucked up situation from like a weird bad Hulu movie. Can you please help me? Can somebody help me? And then I went to this new doctor and he was just like, and he said to me these words, which I've never heard a doctor say. He was a very nice man. I told him everything about it. I ranted to him for about 30 minutes. He said, that is the most fucked up thing I've ever heard. He's like, you don't have any problems like that. Because he's like, I'm talking to you right now. You do not have anxiety from just the things you've said. And you've been very, very lugubrious in my terms of like thinking about how much I want to like, oh, I'm completely fine. It's just that I want to find somebody that causes my anger. And then he's like, okay, wait a minute. It seems as though you're having a bad reaction to this medication. She should not be your doctor. He's my doctor now. He gave me these like four separate tests. And then when I did that, he gave me, after I did the four separate ADHD, ADD tests, he gave me Adderall. And it has completely changed my life. I get stuff done now. I used to write like so much. And now I've been able to write like 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 words a day. So one day, if you guys ever see my erotic novel ever pop up on the shelf, that's for me. I don't know what that novel will be, but it's gonna be fucking something.
It's gonna be about cowboys, ninjas, and Vikings.
So if I'm being completely honest, I just asked that question as an ADHD joke because you went off the deep end for 30 minutes for about the cowboy ninjas. And as someone who has ADHD, I'm allowed to make fun of it. But damn, good for you, honestly.
This is an ADHD safe zone because you boys also currently in the process of getting tested.
Yeah, like
I was like, any viewers. There's probably going to be somebody because there always is like, oh, fucking you. How dare he say that to Tyler? Tyler said those sad things. Like, listen, I know you guys are thinking the entire time I was in the doctor's office, I was like, okay, I guess I should just take it. The entire time I was like, I don't think I should. She's like, take it. I'm like, you listen to me. You fucking listen to me. If I end up in hell, I'm dragging you with me. It was that whole fucking thing. So there was no like, it was not a sad Oscar bait movie. So pretty much.
I'm so open about my stuff that because it's like funny to a point. I'm like, yeah, I can't do anything. I'm really depressed. Like, whatever. Like, it's funny. Nice. Good for you.
It's weird because it calms me down more than it like it amps me up. Because before what I would do, and it was very bad because I would for years. God, it was for 6 years. I don't know how I stopped. And then COVID was kind of. It sounds bad, but COVID was good for me in a way because it did actually slow me down. It was good because it just like a lot of people I think have agreed, obviously horrible time for the world, but I just mean like a lot of people have pointed out like it gave them a chance to slow down. And what I did is that for 6 years I went to the gym every single day, no matter what day it was. I would very occasionally do like maybe 5 or 6 days, but I tried going 7. I went for, I did 2.5 hours every single day. I looked, there's a lot of body types in the world. There's mesomorph, there's endomorph, there's peach, there's pear, there's fucking hourglass, there's apple. But here's the thing. My body type was refrigerator. I was in the best shape I've ever been, but I would also drink about 3,000 milligrams of caffeine every single day. Just to get me going, I would drink a whole pot of coffee. I would drink like these lemonade packets from like Walmart and just like drink a gallon of water and just be like, it's time to go. And that, if anybody can see, I'm doing a bunch of sit-ups, but it was that kind of thing. I would have to do that to keep me going, because otherwise I was just like dead, like just a dead little small clam in the sea of life.
It occurred to me that maybe we should have started with this one. But we didn't really go over, I guess, who you are, what you do.
That was going to be my question, actually, because I was going to say, do you have ADHD? Tell me about yourself.
We really just like dove into the wild shit, I guess. But like, just tell us, I guess, where you're from, what you do.
Oh, damn. Well, at the moment, all I'm doing is, this is going to be kind of fun, because what I do right now is I'm 24. I started just about 5 months ago. I started working in a warehouse. I unload trucks. I'm like the actual person, and they're getting sweaty and gross in the back of the truck. And it's good, because it's good pay and everything. Right now, now that I've gotten my medication in order, I'm able to like do a lot more artsy stuff, which I'm very happy about, because for years I've been barred from being able to do that. I just have had no motivation. I finally have it now. But I'm doing that at the moment. What I did from May of 2020 to November of 2020, I worked at a place called Enhance Wood Refinishing, or Enhance Wood Renewal. It was the worst job I've ever had in my entire life. I got it from a friend. And I really hate that my arch enemy now is a man named Kyle. That's like the least cool arch enemy name in the entire world. Like, I wish he was called like, I don't know, like, this is my arch enemy, like
Xavier,
the darkness or whatever it is. I mean, I think that's the best one I can come up with. But now it's like, oh, it's Kyle. He was really mean to me. But you worked on cabinets, you worked on floors, and I worked like 60 to 70 hour weeks. And on top of that, it was actually a really good job, but everybody there hated the job. Everybody there hated each other. And then I was just like, well, this is not that fun. And then at some point I finally just like had enough. And then I just like put all their equipment outside in the rain. And now he wants to kill me because I ruined like a couple $1,000 of equipment. but here's the thing. I hate him. I'm allowed to do these things. I have the right of goddamn America on our side. And this is where you put an eagle sound behind me. That is where I have the right to do that. But either way, they're very mad at me. They have not found me yet, but one day they're going to, and it's going to be really fun. But no, I worked there for a couple of years, but right now I'm just, I graduated in 2019. Nora could probably remember when I, you know, ruined the time there. But you know what? I really will say I graduated. I did a lot better than I expected I would have done. And now
We graduate together? I thought you were the year after me.
When did you graduate? Was it
2019? May 2019.
You graduated. Oh man, I graduated in December of 2019.
Okay, yeah, that's what's.
I honestly, it ended. It ended very well. I did a lot of different plays. I didn't act until my sophomore year of that. I did like a small play back in high school, and then I did this play in my sophomore year, and that was really fun. Sarah Chambert, or some people would call Chambers. I will say she was the one that got me doing it. And I'm very grateful, because it's really weird, because you know, like when there's a lot of jobs we all have, I think, where like, you know, you can think of yourself as a child, you can think of yourself doing a million different jobs, but I cannot think, like it's like a Lovecraftian creature. I cannot physically comprehend it, but I don't know what I would do if I was not like an actor or a writer or whatever. I literally have no idea. I think of myself as in an office, and I'd probably hang myself with my tie. I think of myself like anywhere that has to do with a computer. I just get miserable thinking about it. But then it's like, I can't picture it. I work in an office, but I don't know what the job is itself. If I don't become an actor, I'll be dead in the streets. But here's the thing. it's going to be like in Disney World or something, baby. I'll be famous on the streets. Like, that's a memorial of Tyler. He died doing what he loved, eating trash. It's going to be goddamn beautiful. But right now I'm just pretty much living in Ohio still. I'd love to move somewhere else that has something to do with a bit more of acting. Maybe LA or New York. LA is going to be, I don't know, man. I can't even imagine myself going to LA. The woman who played Lady Dimitrescu in Resident Evil 8, she talked about, oh my God, the opportunities in LA completely changed my life. That's how I got Lady Dimitrescu. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not going to get the part of Lady Dimitrescu. I can't be that beautiful 9'6" God.
I'm just not with that mindset. You couldn't.
Oh, I could. You know what? I could pull it off. Haley doesn't believe me, but I could pull it off.
I think you could.
Thank
you. All right. So we have a lot more questions for you, but we are going to need to shorten the response time a little bit because I do want to get through them. I think they are very important.
I will make a conscientious effort.
So in 2016. The famous Taylor Swift versus Kanye West firestorm happened. Which side were you on?
Damn, that's a good question, Kev. I'm actually mad. Honestly, I can see the frustration of Kanye.
So you hate women?
Well, it's one of those things. I can see the frustration of Kanye, but I believe that the way he went about it, what he could have done afterwards has been like after the show, he could have been like, you know what? Beyonce made a great album. And I love Taylor Swift, but I don't believe she could have. But the way he did it, I was like, Kanye, I don't want to mince my words, but you are one of the worst people I've ever seen. Just ever. What a horrible human being.
That response really shows to go how much you do hate women, because that's not the right response. We were actually discussing I Made That Bitch Famous and Taylor Swift's removal from social media and all the snake emoji firestorm in 2016.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I did not. Oh my God.
Oh, you didn't know about that. You don't care about the plight of women. Oh, awesome. Man. Nora, your turn.
Oh no.
Cool.
I thought you were talking about the one where he interrupted Taylor at the on the concert or when she got the award. Oh.
That's what started it.
Yeah, it was what started it.
So not to make you angry. What are your two biggest pet peeves and why are they Dear Evan Hansen and Pippin?
Oh, God. Fucking Dear Evan Hansen. That fucking freckle-faced motherfucker. Here's my thing about it. I understand Ben Platt is a brilliant performer, but here's my biggest problem with fucking Dear Evan Hansen. And it has nothing to do with the message of the play, even though that's horrible. It's so problematic and it's fucking stupid. And anybody's like, well, Evan's a little soft cinnamon roll boy, and I just think about strangling the life out of them and seeing the life leave their eyes. But my biggest problem was this. I was fucking on the treadmill, and I was trying to think of fucking songs to listen to. And I was like, well, you know what? There is that new, fantabulous new play on Broadway that is made by whoever the fuck his name is. I'm blanking on the writer's name. But they're like, oh, well, I'm like, oh, you know, I've never heard Dear Evan Hansen. I'm going to listen to that right now. I'm going to get my buzz going. I did just click shuffle on the album. First song that played was Sincerely Me. I was like, the song is like, Dear Evan Hansen. And I was like so fucking into it. It's so good because it's so fast paced. I was going, I was like, this is not only making me run faster, it's making me run happy. And I was so enthralled by it. And then the next song was, and she thought about how cool you looked when you put those indigo streaks through her hair. Blah, blah, that fucking song.
Oh, the sister fucker song.
Yeah.
And he's like, I remember from that song is indigo streaks through her hair. And he left it all inside his head. It's the most bummer of a song. And I don't mean that as like, oh, it made me sad. It made me feel pure hate. Mm-hmm. But it made me sad in the tempo. And then I was like, oh, well, every Broadway song has a downer. I'll just listen to the next one. And then I listened to the next one. And then I listened to the next one. Then I listened to the next one. And every single one sounded like this sad old man crying at his typewriter, thinking like, oh God, I'm a genius. He's just stroking the fucking cock on his brain, just coming on the page. And he's like, oh, this is so good. If I could find him and rip out his hipster hair one by one and be like, why did you think you could write this? And it has nothing to do with how poorly the play is written, how horrible the characterization is, all that's a problem. I would grab him by his disgusting little glued-on glasses. I'd pin him to a wall, and I would say, listen, you ruined my treadmill time because this entire thing sounds like a sad little boy drowning in a well, and I will not stand for it any longer. And then Pippin, I don't know, man. I just hate the 70s. That's as deep as it gets. That's really as deep as it gets. I wish I could give a better answer, but I just hate the 70s, man. Every song from the 70s makes me want to, like, other than maybe Fleetwood Mac, maybe it makes me want to eat a guitar, and it makes me very upset.
I think ABBA's was the 70s, wasn't it?
Were they?
We have the technology. I'm going to find out.
So while she's doing that, Nora had let me know that you are not part, you don't identify as part of the LGBT community, correct?
No, I do not. Because, like, for the longest time, I thought that maybe I was bi, but...
there are some beautiful men out there.
There are some gorgeous men. I thought maybe I was... But you know what? I think part of that was just something I was, like, I was trying to, like, prove to myself. But I was like, you know what? In the end, I really was like, I don't feel like I can call myself that. Because I really never really felt a true attraction to a man. But I will say, I mean, I considered it. But I'm like, you know what? I feel like it'd be more problematic of me to call myself that when I really don't even, when I don't feel it truly deep inside.
Awesome. That was another joke question and it got serious again. But well, I do not either. But so as my role as an ally in protecting Nora, you know, and the LGBTQ community, I have a couple questions for you. What have you done this month to repay reparations? It is Pride Month, after all.
I have a good answer. You know what? Well, at least I've paid reparations to Haley. Haley's bi. I wrote her. I wrote her six pages of gay porn. That's something. That
you know what? That was
No, but here's the thing.
We were trying to bait you. I was trying to bait you and make you look bad. But you know what? That was a good answer.
But here's the worst thing, guys. Everybody's just like, oh, well, he wrote six pages of porn. I've written close to like 100 fucking pieces of gay porn. And the worst thing is it will go unnoticed for centuries. But there's a lot of shit I've had to write. And the worst thing is it was for Haley. So you know what? If you guys blame anybody on my turn, and I'll say this, here's the worst part about it. I'm not ashamed about it. Because it's pretty goddamn good. Let's see if I can say so myself.
Nora, I'm going to get you the ally bro tank from Target.
Nora, do you think that classifies as reparations as the representative?
On behalf of all gays, yeah.
Oh, makes me so happy.
My second question involving that is, what bothers you more? When people don't hold the door for you, / when you hold the door for them and they don't say thank you? Or homophobia?
I will say homophobia, but the door thing makes me pretty mad. But if I'm going to say for true, if I could think about somebody hitting me with the door a little bit, and I look at that 12-year-old boy, and I have to think about, like, well, you know what, maybe he just hasn't been taught the manners yet. And then there's like a 35-year-old man. I'm like, he has been taught the manners. I'll rip his jaw off and throw him into the sea later. Or I think about the horrible travesties that have taken place for the millions of people throughout history. And I probably get more mad at the latter. But I will say the former makes me upset. For me, the other one makes me upset for many more people. But yeah, I will say this: I think we should get rid of doors, doorless society. Because if one more person just doesn't say thank you to me, I'm gonna start opening up rib cages because that's my signature move.
You know, it really pisses me off that you have nothing going on up here but elevator music and screaming because you are impossible to bait. we wrote like a bunch of questions to try to bait you. That was gonna be the whole joke. But instead, you win.
Kevin's mission was to come up with a good gotcha question.
Like, and I was like, I was so excited about that. I was like, yeah, you know, when people don't hold the door, homophobia. Ha ha. Like, how do you have a good answer? How do you, the reparations question? How does
it's
you have
so
a good,
good.
Fuck you. Nora, it's your turn.
Cool. What's the strongest of your five senses?
Oh, my smell, man. If I fucking, I like sniff out like a dog. I'm shocked that it's not ruined because I had a very serious addiction to nasal spray for a long period of time. My nose has been broken a couple times, so I just can't even breathe out of there. Like, it's just like, I don't know if you guys can hear that. That's me hitting on my nose. It's been broken so many times. That's my good defense if somebody punches me, but it works better than anybody else's. I can smell shit from fucking years ago. I'm like on the floor. I'm like, oh. Somebody spilled olive oil here. Like, you can smell olive oil? Of course I can smell olive oil, you motherfucker. my nose has evolved. It's been broken down into its barest parts, and then it's rebuilt itself as the god among noses. Okay. Everything else is pretty shitty, though.
Your nose is like corn. Like, it broke itself, and now it's stronger.
It's bigger. It's stronger. It's like those Indian bridges where they're, like, made out of a bunch of different vines. And then over the years, they grow stronger. That's mine, which is incredible because it really does my nose for a while until I got surgery a couple years ago. It looked like somebody grabbed it and then twisted it like a kitchen timer. So I'm happy that that's gone. Yeah, I have one day, if I'm ever on here again, I'll tell you guys about that story, what happened to me and BG, where I told a bunch of people that, but I challenged what I thought was two men, and I got get the shit beaten out of me by four guys, but I'll tell you guys that at some other point. But it was really fun because it involves Tim Hortons, and it involves a wonderful night of rambunctiousness.
If you're back on here again, I think the correct answer is when you're back on here again, because there's a lot more layers to this onion I think we need to peel off.
It's like, I really wish I have like no interesting things to say, but everybody just says that
you have no interesting things to say. Take that back. Take it back.
I did just, God, what do I have? I'm trying to think of like what I give to society. I don't know. I give like,
you've given this interview.
There's another thing I fucking did. I don't know if you guys can see back there. I have a little poster of three rainbow bees.
I love that.
It's a beautiful picture.
Goddamn model ally.
And then Jesus. I also, in this corner, God, you guys won't be able to see it. It's a little bit dark in the room, but I do have a picture that Haley drew, and it's of her two characters. They're hot as hell, and they're wearing lingerie. That's just up there to display for all. Because in this house, it. Sex positive, baby. But also,
hell yeah.
Shit's hot. Anyway.
Name your two favorite things about each of us.
Kevin. Mm-hmm. Like a nice guy. I will say, I just take one look at you and I'm like, you know, this guy won't betray me. I've said that a lot about a lot of different people, but I feel like I can say it about you and you actually won't. You have a good style and glasses. You have a good feng shui about your house. I mean, look at that behind you. I mean, it's actually put together. There's a lot of men I see their homes. And I went to a former bodybuilder's home one time to help him move a TV after he got surgery. And let me say, when that man has lived there for 16 years and it looks as though he moved in the other day, he had his TV, a single DVD player, like a portable DVD player, on a coffee table, and that was all of his furniture. And let me tell you, Kev, you got it in spades. You actually look like you decorated, not just from IKEA like I do.
There's like albums on the wall, and
I hate that I just am now seeing Taylor Swift in the back.
She's been there for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, unboxed her.
I literally unboxed her.
I will say. Yeah, you got that together. And Nora, you've just always been so nice and so cheerful. Mm-hmm. And may I just say, too, there actually were times, because when I'm unloading the truck, all I'm doing is just listening to my headphones. There are times I, like, forget that I know you when I'm listening to the show. Because I listen to it, like, in a very long period of time. And
long episodes.
Because you have a great radio voice. It's, like, shocking to me. I'm like, damn.
Thank you.
It's so smooth. It's just, like, aromatic, and I like that. And aromatic, baby. It's good. It's a good word. I mean, because I will say there's a lot of like radio people, and I'm sure that I have the same thing too, because either my voice sounds sonorous as the wind, or it sounds like I just ate a bunch of glass. And
your voice is so good.
It is very good. It is very good.
Like, that was half the reason. I remember messaging Kevin probably months ago at this point, being like, yo, I know this dude. We have to get his voice at some point. It's so good, because I distinctly still remember watching Amazons and Their Men and hearing you speak for the first time and then talking to Jillian later and being like, was that an accent? And she's like, nope, that's exactly how he speaks.
Oh, God, man.
And that was the best day of my life, finding out that this is just how you talk and how amazing you sound.
I will say I am happy, because there really are some times where I'm like, I really do sound as though I'm like Frank Sinatra, and there's other days I really do sound as though I went out into the yard and I found some dirt and I've noshed on it for about 30 minutes. But there are some people, there's a lot of podcasts I've listened to, and there are some people that when they speak, I'm like, I just want to say, hey, I'm sorry. I don't want to be rude, but you got to stop. audio medium is not for you, because there's some people that talk like, oh, hello there. My name is Tyler. I'm like, oh, they're doing like a voice, like, you know, the funny, funny favorite character, Kermit.
I'm a funny person.
No, they're just like that perpetually.
perpetually.
Nora, do you have like any other like one or two like because all of my good ones are pretty much done. So
I will say, Kev, you prepared really well, and I did like it. I did like the.
Well, thank you.
Like being put on the spot made me think.
Me and Nora were like, we're gonna get him so good.
Nine. You were coming up with things. I was like, maybe, maybe, but I don't think so. Tyler's too on his feet. But this one's a little specific. Thank you also, Kevin, for correcting that spelling. I realized that. What's your thoughts on Banana Laffy Taffy?
That was mid-sip of water when you said that. Fucking anybody. And I mean anybody, even Kate Taylor, who has a deep place in my heart. She has been nothing but kind and nice. Kate Taylor, for anybody that is listening and doesn't know, she was such a good friend and such a good stage manager. And I have nothing but deep love and respect for her. But also, Kate, if you're listening to this, I'm still angry about you liking Banana Laffy Taffy. Am I not mistaken? I think she did. She also, either way, but it was just so funny because like anybody, even if I love them deeply, I'm like, I'm sorry, but I hate you now so much. It doesn't have a flavor other than bad. Like there's no like, even if like a food critic took a bite of the Laffy
You're
Taffy
wrong.
And you have this video, it's like, oh, a food critic is going to review Banana Laffy Taffy. There's no like, well, I can taste. It's like, there's none of that. It's just like, oh, that sucks. And that'd be it.
You're wrong. You're wrong. Banana Laffy Taffy is where it's at.
You're going to be mad to hear this. We are a pro Banana Laffy Taffy podcast.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. Baby.
Banana Laffy Taffy is the best. And I understand that it is not based off of current banana flavor. It is based off of a banana that no longer exists because there was a banana plague, which we're going through again. So hold on to your bananas, boys.
Monkeys don't eat bananas.
They do not. Just anyway, Banana Laffy Taffy is very good.
Grape is the best.
Oh.
Incorrect. Grape is too sweet. It tastes like medicine.
I don't mind grape stuff, but I like, okay, I'm weird though, because I like cherry, and I know that's like also a medicine.
Cherry thing. Tastes more like medicine. I usually like grape things.
I My don't mind grape things, but.
Is the grape ape. That's what I'm known as. Because I will eat anything grape that is seen throughout history and society. Everything that is grape flavored is good. The only thing that's bad is raisins. Mike,
raisins.
Raisins are okay.
They have a weird texture, but.
Because, well, you know what pisses me off too? I'm like, man, how come grapes. That grape candy doesn't taste like actual like grapes. And they're like, oh, well, actually grape candy is based off of codcorn grapes. And those are only sold to specific wineries, specific juice creators. And I'm like, how about you shut the fuck up and give me those dusty little good boys. You pop them in my mouth. I want them. And if any grocery store doesn't give those to me, well, again, I'm going to be America's greatest monster. Because
so are Concord grapes your favorite grape then? Because personally, I'm a fan of the Moondrops.
Moondrops? I've never actually had those before.
They're real good. They look like little eggplants. But like, but they're grapes. They're really good.
You guys try the cotton candy grapes.
That's what I was just gonna say. Cotton candy grapes.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
I will say sweet. Those are valid because I eat those. To quote the Griffin McElroy, as he said one time, I eat those as though I'm about to commit suicide later. So I'm like, you guys see that video of David Hasselhoff when he's drunk and on the ground, he's eating a hamburger. I'm like that, but it's just handfuls upon handfuls of grapes. I can't. Stop myself. Gosh. It's very dangerous.
I mean, when my sister invites me over, she always buys an extra bag of grapes because she knows I will, because she buys good grapes because she can afford to. She knows I will eat an entire bag if she leaves me unsupervised for 10 minutes.
Well, it's like, it's one of those things. Like, I mean, I feel like people have to grab me and pull me off of them, but I'm like, I just can't. The deep hunger's taking over. And people are like, well, Tyler, you know what? Maybe part of the reason for your fear of weight gain is the fact that you eat so much processed sugar and you eat so many sugary fruits like mango and grape. And then that person just, they just drowned out because I'm like, mangoes, grapes, apples, oh my. And I just want to go to Kroger and nosh on their fruit for like a good 37 minutes.
I absolutely horrified a friend the other day because we went to Kroger to get food and we were looking at produce and stuff. And he's like, yo, do you want some cherries? And I was like, maybe let's see which ones are good. And I took one out of the bag and just like ate it to see if it was like a good bag. They were horrified. They're like, what the fuck did you just do? And I was like, that's how you test that shit. I do that with grapes too. I eat one straight out.
Sorry, They're what good. Was the first thing you just did? I thought it was grapes, but I missed what
cherries.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. If it's like a bagged fruit, like whatever.
Yeah, if it's a bagged fruit, I just like eat one.
Can you imagine?
Just be like, okay, so like that's fine. And he was like, what the fuck did you just do?
Can you imagine just taking a big chomp of an apple and being like, too sweet, and putting it back?
Tyler, you look horrified for a second.
Because, like, I even just thought about, like, somebody just going, oh, and they take, like, four more bites. You know how people are. And be like, yeah, it sucks.
Toss. And bite a banana without peeling it. Just
they'd, like, try tossing it in the trash. Be like, Jordan! And then it just wouldn't go in. They'd be like, yeah, well, I'll let the bus boy get it. And they'd skulk away.
You just created someone to be mad at. You just invented a person in your head to be mad at.
Well, I would be mad at that person, too.
That's the problem, is I'll, like, think about somebody in my head. They'll be like, hey, Tyler. I don't even know what. They'll just say dumb things. Be like, Tyler, you're 6'2" now. You'll never be 6'3". I'm like, you don't know that. You don't know that. And it'll be like just the person in my head is like, I'll sometimes think of like Jim from The Office, because I know this is a hot take. Jim from The Office is a fucking asshole. Correct. And I will say that. And I just think of him. I'm like, ooh, John Krasinski, you're a good guy. But Jim's a different entity in itself. He is like an amoeba separated from John Krasinski. And he's a different being. And I think of him all the time. And I think about how badly he mistreats Pam. And this is from somebody who's watched about 4.5 episodes of The Office.
I've barely watched The Office. I cannot get through the first season.
Listen, the first season's pretty bad. I think it's funny. I don't like.
See, I hear that all the time, that the first season's bad and then everything after that's fine. But it's not a good show.
Parks and Rec is the same way for me. But,
I like Parks and Rec.
Yeah, the first season sucks. But like The Office is like one of those shows or things that I personally enjoy. But also when people say they hate it, I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like Friends. I like Friends, but also people are like, Friends fucking sucks. I'm like, yeah, I get it. You're right.
Yeah.
You know, I've tried that's watching what The Office is. Friends.
Yeah.
The Parks and Rec, the first season was horrible. And every
Mark Blandanowicz. As soon as they got rid of Mark Blandanowicz, it went.
He was the worst character. Whoever even thought about him, I'm just going to say it right now. Even if they contact me in the future, I'll say it to their face. I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. Whoever made up that character. Even if they made up, even if they saved like 15 children from a well, I still think they're going to go to hell for making
up. Like, he was supposed to be like the normal foil to everyone else, but like no one else was crazy enough. Like Leslie wasn't, he was supposed to be like the normal one, but like everyone else was like, they weren't crazy enough. Like, I think in The Office, Jim is supposed to be the normal one as like the foil to everyone else, and like it worked well because Michael's a fucking idiot, Dwight is like Dwight, like all of those people, they're so crazy and out there that Jim's like the normal one. And they tried to do it with Mark Blandanowicz, but Leslie wasn't weird, she was just Leslie, like she was just like crazy. I don't know. Or like Andy Dwyer was weird, but he wasn't even supposed to be in for the first like season, he was supposed to be done. It's,
you know, yeah. If he was, I will say this though, if he was made by the main creator, I'm blanking on the name of him. If he was made by him, I do forgive him because fucking The Good Place is perfect throughout the entire show. Perfect. So, you know, I forgive him for that. He made
The Good
that
Place
show.
Also, Chris Evans is a bad person.
Correct.
Unfortunately. And it sucks that Andy Dwyer is. Is that Chris Evans?
Chris Pratt. Sorry.
Chris Pratt.
I agree with you without even processing the last name.
Whoever played Andy Dwyer, Chris Pratt, Pratt is a piece of shit.
Cool. I was thinking, I'm like, what did Chris Evans do in the hour we've been recording this?
Have you not seen your phone? He's trending. Nora, do you have a final question?
I do have a final question. Tyler, what does being useless mean to you, or being a part of useless?
The useless cinematic universe.
What does useless mean to you?
Useless came to me at my lowest point. I was down in the Sarasota Islands, which is in the middle of a river somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I really wasn't that far from society. Right. But I was there, and I was sitting there, and I was trying to eat a crab, even though I couldn't. But then...
Carcinization.
My funny little radio that I painted a face on... He picked up a little radio signal. And yeah, somebody is pirating your guys' show. Let me tell you right now.
It's probably our Lithuanian listener.
I was just going to say that. God damn it, Lithuania.
And I had this very long, stringy beard. And I was also emaciated. And I was also 95 at the time as well. And I had this big cane. And I was like, is that Nora? I was like, I can get on the radio show. And then I went to Ohio and I got off the island. All that sucks. But it gave me the strength to get 4 feet through about ankle deep water back to society. But I will say it is very fun being on the show. I've never been on a podcast where I can give a serious answer. I've been on one podcast and I was asked my opinion about Star Wars, and I know absolutely nothing about Star Wars. other than that Yoda, just not even Baby Yoda, just Yoda is the funniest character ever created. Everything
Yoda fucks.
Yoda fucks, man. He fucked. God, he's like a tripod. Anyway.
The only big thing I know about Star Wars is the big, I don't even know his name, the big gelatinous guy. Isa Misa Usa,
nope,
that guy.
Incorrect again. The Jabba the Hutt and Jar Jar Binks are two separate characters.
Wait, who talks like that? Misa Usa
Jar
or Misa?
Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, well, I know Jar
Jar,
Jar
Binks.
Is
the
that
annoying
the one
little
with
alien beanstalk guy? The big slug guy is Jabba the Hutt.
I know that. Jabba. I know the first movie did have some incest. And that's it.
I forgot he kissed his sister, didn't he?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I know Leia. I don't know who his brother is. Her brother is
sister fucking
Luke.
This episode, it's starting to get
scary. It's Luke. I didn't know if it was Luke or Han Solo. Nora, you will not make me feel bad about Star Wars because I don't care. I don't care. Everyone thinks that I'm less of a person because I haven't watched Magic Space Sword Fight show.
You're less of a person, Kevin.
I don't care. It's Magic Space Sword Fighting. Cool. I'm not gonna not like it. I know I'll like it, but I don't care.
Samuel L. Jackson's the only valid one because he asked for a
purple lightsaber. I am the Senate! I know that too.
He did ask for a purple lightsaber.
I am the Senate! I know that. That's it. I don't know who does that. Palpatine?
Palpatine.
Oh,
you got one right!
I was scared of Darth Maul. Is it the one with the red face?
Yes, Darth Maul.
I was scared of him. I used to be scared of him.
As you should be.
Well, I think that was a very beefy little segment.
That was beefy.
So I think it's time to take a little break, go to Recommendation Corner, and head back.
Kevin, you smell so good.
Thanks. I'm just glad that you noticed. From Virginia. Through the computer screen.
Of course. I'd recognize that Terabusi Creek smell from anywhere, even from 484 miles away and through a computer screen.
Well, today, everyone, we want to tell you, our listeners and beautiful best friends, about Terabusi Creek. They're a small batch, handcrafted, homemade business that specializes in creating plant-based formulas to enrich your skincare and self-care routines.
They have products ranging from candles to facial care to bubble bars, even to monthly boxes. And with restocks happening every other Friday, you never have to go too long without your favorite smells. Kevin and I each have a few different products that we absolutely adore.
When Nora and I started this podcast, we had both agreed to never take a sponsorship from a product we don't love or a company who has shady values. So believe us when we tell you that we love Terabusi Creek. They're cruelty-free, vegan, and have strong stances on various current social justice issues like Black Lives Matter and LGBTQ rights.
My current obsession is a dreamy soap bar with lavender, sweetgrass, and a hint of moonbeams. Made with ingredients like shea butter and olive oil, my skin is feeling fine and fresh.
As a skincare connoisseur myself, the Backwood face mask with charcoal, kaolin clay, and tea tree oil leaves my oily little greasy face feeling fresh and ready to take on the world.
And his haters. Support small businesses and your favorite podcast by enriching your skincare routine by visiting terabusicreek.com and using the code USELESS10 at checkout to receive 10% off your entire order.
That is terabusicreek.com, TARABUSICREEK.com with code USELESS10, and you'll receive 10% off your entire order.
And hey, with Terabusi Creek, you can smell useless too. Recommendation Corner. It's a corner where we put stuff up on a bulletin board that we really like so we don't forget it. But then we put too many things on the cork board and then we forget the things on the cork board.
She's really good.
All right, everyone. Welcome to your favorite Recommendation Corner. Good job, Nora. That was awesome.
I thought you were going to just like pause to like insert.
Oh, I don't know. I just wanted to see what you do, honestly.
Oh, okay. So, I didn't know if you were waiting on me or not.
Oh, you're fine. So if you don't, for people who might not know, if this is your first episode, I'm sorry. This is where we, you know, talk about the things that we recommend, the games we've been playing, etc. Except me and Nora don't have to do any work because it's a special episode. So,
yeah, baby.
Tyler. basically, if you want to tell us about recommendations, any recommendations you have, and then we can talk about any video games that you want to talk about. And yeah, that's kind of it. So Tyler, what things do you want to recommend this week?
Well, you know what? This one I've been sitting on for so goddamn long. I've been so excited to talk about things that I don't hate, but I actually love. And here's the thing. Have you guys ever heard of the musician? And he's also a short filmmaker, Jack Stauber.
Yes. No. Yes.
Yeah, I have not.
Well, you know what? He did release a short film, and I know it's on that funny, funny channel that has the funny, funny, groundbreaking show, Rick and Morty, on it. But he did release a short film last Halloween. It only had one trailer. It had very little fanfare behind it, but it released at midnight, completely unannounced. It's called Jack Stauber's Opal. I'm just going to read this little thing I got going on here. Jack Stauber's Opal comes from musician and filmmaker Jack Stauber, who is known for his variety of short songs and short animations. While many of his short films can be considered music videos, Opal, on the other hand, is his first short film that features a larger story and is mostly a musical in one act. It features a very distinctive style, which is a mixture of stop-motion clay faces with live-action bodies or on puppet bodies. I will say, too, it's really interesting because he will film his videos with modern devices, but then he'll actually port it to a VHS, and then he'll put it into a VHS player, and he'll put it in there multiple times and record it, and then also like even do things like actually whack the VHS player to give it some static. So it's really interesting to see because it looks like a VHS you found in the middle of the woods, and I mean that the best possible way. Because it has a very frightening look to it, but it's actually like it's very emotional. It's not horror. There are some like scary moments, but nothing that's gonna make you. Like your most you're gonna do is ooh that was pretty bad.
I didn't know that's how we got that effect. Nora, yeah. Do you know the "Can I have a peppermint? You can have a" that's Jack Stauber.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That kind of style.
Song I think was like really popular like on TikTok. It was called like Buttercup. That was a really popular song.
Very creepy, but in a
Opal
good way.
Is very. It is like because all of his other songs are just like he made a little short film collection called Shop, a Pop Opera. By Jack Stauber, and it is just like this guy goes to a grocery store. He has everything on his list, like milk, eggs, bread, and then he just goes through the store and then sings a little song about each one of the things on his list. That's usually about it. And I'm not insulting Jack Stauber. I love his work. That's usually about as far as his films have gone. Opal is like a musical in one act. Everybody can watch it. It's only like 12 and a half minutes long, but it's fantastic. I was blown away by it. The synopsis of the film is... A curious girl investigates the cries she hears coming from a forbidden house across the street. And it really, the entire time, it's only 12 and a half minutes long. It's on YouTube. And I believe it's on HBO Max, if I'm not mistaken. But the entire time I was hooked. The music's so catchy. The animation is fantastic. And it really, it's stuck with me for quite a while. It's emotional. It's fun. But it's also very scary. It's very heartbreaking. It's one of the best stories I've ever seen. It's a simple story, but it's done so perfectly well. It's one of the best short films I've ever seen in my entire life, and everybody needs to watch it.
I had no idea that's how we got those effects, because I've always liked the Jack Stauber kind of stuff, where it's like that weird, grainy VHS-esque.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that he actually did it through a VHS. I thought he was just a really good editor.
Yeah, because there's also a show made by... it's made by Adult Swim as well. It has John C. Reilly in it. It's called Check It Out with Dr. Steve Brule. It's kind of like an Eric Andre show type deal. But what they do is they also do the exact same effect where they will put footage of John C. Reilly into a VHS, they'll put it into a VHS player, and they'll record it multiple times so it gets very grainy. And then on top of that, they will hit it. They will hit the machine just to give it that static look to it. So it's very interesting. Yeah. So like it's a really low budget way to give a low budget look. And it's done very well, especially in all of Jack Stauber's works. But Opal is where his style and his music just like comes in this perfect amalgamation. It is fantastic in every possible way. But yeah, anybody that hasn't checked it out, it's called Jack Stauber's Opal.
And it's on the Adult
Swim. It's on YouTube?
Yep, it's on the Adult Swim YouTube channel. And also, he released the album. The album does not have every single song from the film on it. It has most, but it's missing two. It's missing the first song in the film, which I think is just to give it more of an effect, like when you actually watch the short film. And it's also missing the song from the trailer. He has not released the song from the trailer, but it is very interesting because the song from the trailer, it sounds like complete nonsense, but what it actually, the lyrics are, something isn't right. Nothing seems to make that much sense to me. And it just plays over and over again. He's never released the song, but it's like one of the best trailers I've seen too. The imagery in the film is fantastic. It's only 12 and a half minutes long again. and I was completely blown away, which is crazy because I watched his work before. I thought I was gonna make a fun little video, like about a girl like singing to a little house or something, but no, it is completely blew me away. Yeah, it's on the YouTube channel, and I believe it's on HBO Max if anybody wants to watch that on their big TV or whatever.
I just put it in the chat as well.
Oh yeah,
I found the link for it.
Because really, it was released on Halloween of last year. I watched it just out of curiosity, and I'm so happy I did. And then the next recommendation I have, I'm sure you guys have heard about it before, Infinity Train. You guys ever heard about that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't watch it.
I want to watch it. I don't know where to watch it, but I really want to.
The only thing is it was released on Cartoon Network for a couple of years, and then once I think the third season came out, they released it exclusively on HBO Max.
Yeah.
And the final and fourth season came out just about a month ago or so, I believe. And it's really sad because it could have lasted so much longer. They had like eight seasons planned and everything. And then Cartoon Network was like, it's a bit too mature for our audience. It just isn't the right thing, which is really sad because it is by far, it's one of the best animated series I've ever seen in my life. It's one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. And it's also probably the best anthology series I've ever seen in my entire life. There's a lot of anthology series in the world.
Yeah.
That are done so sloppily where like those introduce a whole new cast of characters and you have to get fond of them over that one season, and then they're completely gone by the time it's over. But Infinity Train does it perfectly where they introduce a character and then they'll follow that character in the next season.
You can say American Horror Story, it's fine.
I did like American Horror Story up until like season four, but I will say it does not follow that anthology format the way Infinity Train does it, as I think how everyone should do. But it just, but really Infinity Train is just like incredible. It has a perfectly simple plot, but I mean simple in the best possible way. I like simple plots. I hate complicated, convoluted plots. But just to read a synopsis, well, I guess I'll just read like the little, because there was no official synopsis because each season's a different plot and characters. But while each of the plots for the seasons change, the general synopsis follows a character who has found themselves transported to an enormous, seemingly endless train constantly moving throughout a destroyed wasteland. Every train car houses a strange environment and characters, all of which the main character must interact with in order to find their way home. So it really, it's interesting because they'll have, you go to each car, one car of this train that's just absolutely enormous, maybe a beach car. There's a bunch of beach people there. They go to the next car and it takes place. My favorite one is not spoiling anything, but they go to one car. All these cars are like so fantastic. They're so weird. They're so creative. But then you get to like this one car and the two characters get there and it's a completely white room. And there's just a single toad sitting in the middle. And they go up to him. And he's like, please don't kick me. And they're like, why would we kick you? He's like, read the sign. And then he just says, kick the toad to get out of the car. Oh. It's a little sign that he made himself. He's like, please don't kick me. And they're just like, well, we're going to have to kick you to get out of here. Is it kind of nubby a little bit? He's like, no, you got to kick me. And it is just so funny. The show is really humorous, but it's also very emotionally deep, and it gets violent at times too, like way more violent than you think for a show made from Cartoon Network. But once they got to HBO Max, they really felt as though they could go hog wild with it.
And
there's four seasons, each episode's about 10 to 11 minutes long, each season is exactly 10 episodes. And the lore of it is incredible. I really hope they bring it back, because the creator Owen Dennis meant to continue it for 8 seasons plus a movie, but Warner Brothers was just like, no, it's a bit too mature for our audience. But what I'm thinking is going to happen, I think it's going to be canceled for a couple years. And then I think that's going to do a Samurai Jack kind of thing where it just all of a sudden comes back for like a more mature season 5 or so.
Yeah. Have you, not to derail, but have you ever watched Love and Death and Robots?
I've heard of it. I need to watch that really bad. I've seen clips of it.
It's really good. It's an anthology series. Season 2 just dropped. I watched it all the other day. But like my thing about that show, Love, Death, and Robots, is that each episode not only is different, but has a different animation style as well. And I love that.
That's what I think. I've heard nothing but amazing stuff about it. Even just from the clips I've seen, there's like, it's equal parts. Like there's some episodes that are funny. There's some episodes that are sad, some episodes that are frightening. Mm-hmm. And every time I see it, I think it's produced by like Tim Miller, who made like the visual effects for a bunch of different movies. And it really, every time I see it, I'm blown away. I literally don't know why I have not watched it yet. I have no reason.
It's really good. Highly recommend. Not that it's my recommendation corner.
No, but I will definitely have to watch that. You know what? I don't want to keep you guys for too long in the recommendation corner. But one more I will recommend If you guys have a chance, one great podcast I've listened to. I have a lot of problems with like serial drama podcasts because it sounds so snobby, but there's a lot of fucking shitty actors on these podcasts. They're just like, they just aren't very good. I'm sorry. But I will say there's one that was produced by Tessa Thompson, who played Valkyrie in Ragnarok. It's called The Left-Right Game, which sounds, it sounds like a bad title, but they make fun of the title throughout the entirety of the show.
Okay.
But I listened to it because Tessa Thompson, I love her. And then she produces it, and then she also is the main character. And apparently Amazon Studios picked it up for a series already.
Oh, shit.
But it's very interesting. It's just like this researcher joins this strange man who says, hey, if you go left on one road, and then you go right on that road, and then you go left again and right again and left again and right again, weird shit happens. And she's like, I'm sure people do that literally all like many times a day and they don't experience anything. He's like, oh, and then it gets off the rails. It's very good. And it has a lot of great drama, a lot of great body horror if you're into that. And it's very interesting. All the acting's good. There's one person, and I say this not to insult them, but it is funny because all the acting is superb up until this one person pops up and everybody else is just using their voices. They're like, listen, we can't just keep messing around. The other person's just like, but did you see that? And then some other person comes up, hey, well, I don't really agree with you guys. And I'm like, that's the fucking voice you chose, sir. You guys, if anybody listens to it, you'll know who exactly who I'm talking about. The rest of it is superb, really. I have nothing but great stuff to say about it. But The Left-Right Game, you can listen to wherever podcasts are. Fantastic if you guys are into fans of serial dramas or audiobooks.
I love serial.
Mm-hmm. If you want... actually, I'll recommend one to you because my favorite podcasting company is called Multitude. They're small. If you've ever heard of the podcast called Potterless,
I have heard of that one time.
Yeah. So his name's Mike Schubert, and he basically reads the Harry Potter books for the first time and like discusses them each week. And it's really good. And they ended up making a podcast collective called Multitude. And they're really good people. They have some of my favorite shows, but I haven't listened to it yet, although I love supporting them. I listen to their Join the Party, which is their D&D podcast, but they have one called Next Stop, which is an audio sitcom about your mid to late 20s. And it's like a fictional sitcom that I've heard has really, really good reviews. And they were super like transparent with the way that they did it. And they made this whole like 100-page like booklet about how to basically make a fiction podcast, and they started it from beginning to end. Here's what we paid people. Here's how we did this. Here, like, it was really cool. So if you like,
called again,
Next Stop, or if you just look up like Multitude Productions, there's all of their shows. That's like my favorite podcast collective because they're small, they're good people, they pay people well, and they make really good shows.
I'll have to definitely check that out. I'm always itching for more because it really sucks because it sounds like I'm being negative, but the last like 4 to 5 audiobooks I've gotten with Audible have been terrible. I need something to listen to so bad. So I'm definitely gonna have to check that out. Multitude Podcasts. No, yep. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Awesome. So from Recommendation Corner, we go into Gamer Corner.
Gamer Corner.
That's the new theme song. If you guys change it, I will be offended.
Cool. We have to change it to that, and I'll run it through the 8 audio filters I did to make it so crunchy. I have no idea how Audacity works, and that just gives it the homegrown charm.
You're in charge of editing this bit, so you know what's up.
Perfect. So, Siler, what kind of video games have you been playing that you want to...
You know what? I've really been like struggling because I think my attention got really bad to the point I couldn't play video games for more than like 30 minutes. But then now I've definitely Resident Evil 8. I played that with Haley. We have been, I hate that you changed your background to Lady D, but I was completely blown away by that. I've never played a Resident Evil game. I heard about Resident Evil 7, but I've never been that big a fan of like zombies. I really don't feel like zombies can be that. They're kind of like, I'm not going to go on a tangent about elves, but fucking zombies are like elves or like they've been done so many times. I'm like, there's no way to change it. So that's why I thought about Resident Evil. It's the exact same thing. But then after they've started like changing the formula a bit more and they're going to like different sorts of, you know, bioweapons and stuff.
Mold,
that is like, and that is, I hate mold so much. And honestly, Resident Evil 7, I really thought they did a fantastic job of condensing that super big oh, bioterrorists are taking over the world. They really condense that down to like, what if one of these bioweapons escaped and got into a family's situation and caused, because it's like they're showing a more private version of like, instead of zombie plague is taking over the United States, they're showing like, oh, what if this one family's affected?
Yeah.
And it's causing issues. And it's a very, it's a super well done plot. And then I really thought that Resident Evil 8, I was really shocked that Ethan Winters was a protagonist carrying over to Resident Evil 8, because I mean, in the first one, I thought he was like, you know, I mean, I thought it was really interesting. One of my favorite tropes in the world, my first favorite trope is unstoppable evil. I love that. Like Anton Chigurh from No Country for Old Men. I love the Nothing from Neverending Story. I love, just love the idea of like something that cannot be stopped. But I also love the idea of just like somebody who's like a fucking, like just like an unstoppable killing machine. And I love, but I also just love the everyman.
Yeah.
So I love that they combine Ethan with one of my favorite tropes, the unstoppable evil, because he is just like an accountant. If I ever wrote a movie for Resident Evil 8, I would just have one scene where Carl Heisenberg is just like, so what the hell is he? Is he a mercenary? Is he a bioweapon himself? Is he a, he's a super soldier? And then you got Mother Miranda just like, no, he's a, he's a systems engineer for a computer company.
And then you got, I do IT like, work.
He's like, goddamn, he better get a raise for that, because he, Ethan's just like, in the first game, he's just like, where the hell am I? I really got to stop these people from taking my wife. In the second game, he's like, listen up, motherfucker. God fucking damn it. He's like, oh, this shit again.
Same shit, different Tuesday.
He got his goop juice. He got his shotgun, and he has no will to live. You bitch, let's go.
He is really, I mean, he went from like this guy who was just kind of okay to like the perfect protagonist. I mean, in the most genuine way. And really, Resident Evil 8 just did such a good job. I didn't know how to feel about the gothic horror route that they were going with like Lady Dimitrescu and Carl Heisenberg. And I mean, even, I mean, it really is that, what's her name? Donna Beneviento. She like, when that, she's the, it's terrifying part of the game. Cause the game is like, at the beginning, it really is just like ghosts and goblins and werewolves. Oh my, what could happen next? Let's find out. And then at one point in the game, it really is just like, you know, wait a fucking minute, what's happening? And,
yeah.
And,
like, you're just,
and it really, I really have nothing but the best stuff to say, because they really escalated this simple plot from the first game to just going fucking balls to the wall wild. And I didn't think I was going to vibe with that, but the game, I'm soaking in the vibes, man. I'm fucking like balls deep in the vibes. I'm loving it. So
I just finished Resident Evil 7 and I loved it so much. I mean, I'm not a huge scary game person, but I loved it so much I immediately bought Village or Resident Evil 8. And 7 has been a lot scarier, I think, so far. I just killed Lady D, but I know how it ends, whatever. I know.
Spoilers.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, we know you're going to kill big vampire mommy.
Do we, though? There are people out there that still haven't played this game, Kevin.
They know that she's a villain, and you're not going to let her live.
What was so shocking to me is the creators were just like, they were like, we were really shocked about how much people liked her. And I was like, you guys are fucking surprised.
Yeah.
But, surprised?
That's what they're like, well, we, and they even said we would have added her more to the game, but by the time they showed the first trailer, because I don't know if anybody remembers the first trailer, it really was just like, there was a couple old people in the village like hiding away in their houses. And then all of a sudden there's no dialogue. Just like, welcome to a village. And then you have like Lady D pops up and she does like that whole pose thing.
I was very surprised to learn she wasn't the bad guy.
I'm surprised, because they really, once they realized how horny on main every single person on the internet was, and that's including me.
Oh, me too.
It really, they were like, well, guys,
We gotta
fucking amp this shit up. And I think that's why, because they first, I saw a couple like people, I thought it was a, I thought they actually made it. I thought Capcom himself drew the cover where it's just Lady D, you know, smiling. But in reality, I think they really went with the marketing where it's Chris Redfield looking down. Because they're like, if we have her be on the cover, everyone's going to be really pissed that she's dead within the first quarter of the game.
Yeah.
And I loved her part of the game. I loved it, because there were actual times where I was just like, she can't come in this room. She can't get in. And then she came in.
Ethan Winters! And she like ducks under the door because she's huge. Her fucking hand claws come out and she's like, you can't run!
My favorite thing to come out of all of this Resident Evil 8 stuff, though, are the TikToks where it's like what you see and it's her chasing you, and then it's what she sees and it's a little like, oh, don't catch me, don't get me.
Well, because it's just like, And it's bad because I was playing with Haley. And then, like, at the end of the game, and once you beat the game, you do get, like, statues of each of the characters. Like, you know, like some Super Smash Brothers, or like you give it the trophies. It's like that models of each of the characters. And I was really happy because a lot of their monster forms, and that's not spoiling anything. It's Resident Evil. Every character has a monster form at this point. But what they did is that I was able to see their monster forms, and I was so happy because there's no high-res versions of that online. But then me and Haley looked at each other. We're like, we gotta zoom in on Lady D. I'm sorry. We have to do it.
Bi-wife energy. She has bi-wife energy.
Oh, she's a, and I say this, I need to really describe the way I look on the screen where I just look downtrodden and beaten up because she's a monster. Anyway. I love her so much. I've been with her for 9 years and she's an enemy.
So you hate gay people?
Oh, no, I really just hate Haley because she's made my life a living hell and it has nothing to do. I love her so much, but hey guys, I said it before, I've had to write a lot of stuff. Hey guys, let me tell you again.
Where can we find your work?
Oh, yeah.
What's your Wattpad?
Oh, trust me, guys. And I say this, part of me would be like, oh, damn it. You're going to find my work. Here's the thing, though. I'd be scared for about the total about 5 minutes. Because then after that, I'd be like, if they read it, light a cigarette. Like, oh, they're going to like it.
This is going to be my goal. I am very good at playing online detective. I'll find your work.
If you find my work, and you read it and you don't personally ask me for some, I will be offended. And I'll whip out my legal pad. I'm like, so Kevin, what do you want? I'll jot it down. It's just,
tell me about yourself.
Awesome. What are your AO3 tags?
AO3. So awesome. Well, thank you for that. That was very good. And I very much agree. Resident Evil, great game series. Nora, fantastic. Have you played 7?
No. I haven't played any of the Resident Evil games.
Well, when you finally get a PlayStation, it is...
I have a PlayStation. I just don't have PlayStation 5.
When you get a PlayStation 5, it's part of the PlayStation collection that you get when you get it. So you'll get it for free.
Julia, buy me a PlayStation 5.
Julia, find a play. Julia, make some more goddamn semiconductors so we can have PlayStation 5s. Awesome. Well, Tyler, I'm going to put a pause in here really quick.
Good.
Tyler's vocal patterns.
Ugh, our minds. We're just
brain so cell close. Linked. We got our, that Bluetooth.
We have the parasitic.
We're both vaccinated. We have that Bluetooth.
We have the parasitic connection. Okay. So, Tyler, I have been told that you have something fun to tell us. Oh. I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, we have something, no prior knowledge of what your topic is for us.
Something I've heard that's pretty useless, but you're very knowledgeable about. So I would love to hear it. Entertain me.
Okay, let's see. I'll begin. I don't want to go on a spiel too much, but I thought it'd be fitting since we're on an Audible type show, I would go on to Audible type stories and facts. And when I was a child and I had a jelly bean shaped head, I would often scare myself when YouTube was born from the cold womb of Google and the year of our Lord, 2005, once again.
2005 had a lot of bangers.
Damn. 2005 had some good shit, man. It was a year that the 1990s ended, which is very sad. But I will say that when I was a kid and YouTube first began, I would scare myself silly watching like cryptid and the alien videos. And they'd be very poorly made on Microsoft Movie Maker. And they'd be horrible and they'd have like all these transitions that were terrible and they would play exclusively the X-Files theme. But I would scare the shit out of myself. My parents would be like, stop it. What is wrong with you? And I still try to do it to myself.
Same.
But, oh, here we go. You guys are right. Okay, well, do you guys know any scary unidentified radio stations?
Is this like the number station?
Oh yeah, baby.
That's I have good. No idea.
Apparently there was a radio station that would just list off numbers in like a female voice or something.
Yeah, very scary. Oh,
like, so it's like.
It would just be like 24, 3, 62.
Your voice is perfect for that. Oh, I don't get that at all.
And then it would TikTok. Like play a bell tone or something.
Oh yeah.
I know Night Vale also like played on it a little bit in their podcast, which is another really good serial story.
Absolutely. Night Vale was fantastic. And I remember that I thought that was something they made up until I heard about like where it's like when your voice was perfect for that, where it's like 15, 4, 3, ding. And it would just be that.
Yeah.
And okay, it was actually set in the desert, which is very scary because it's just something about radio. Yeah, and then that's actually a good transition. You guys have heard about that number station. Have you guys heard about the Yosemite Sam
number station? I feel like I have.
I'm so excited to hear about this. I know nothing about okay. Go. I'm so excited.
Let me see.
I'm gonna get into a weird part of YouTube after this, aren't I?
Or TikTok.
You can find it.
My algorithm's gonna be fucked up on TikTok.
Well, you guys know about the character from Looney Tunes, Yosemite Sam?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he was part of a very strange, very infamous radio station. You guys can find clips. It started in 2004. It ended for 3 months, and then it started back again in 2005. And again, 2005 has some great bangers.
Some great bangers.
And it is located between Laguna and Albuquerque, New Mexico. The exact and specific site of the transmission itself is disputed. That, however, will be spoken about when I get the goddamn chance. Anywho, exactly 7 seconds after each hour and continuing for 2 solid minutes, loud static is played and then immediately followed by a clip of Yosemite Sam shouting the line, "Varmint, I'm gonna blow you to smithereens!" And then...
That was really good.
That was really good.
And then it keeps switching the frequency of the radio, so it'll immediately switch to a higher frequency. And it will play the exact same clip, and then static will play at the beginning, and static will play at the end. It'll skip to another station, and it will repeatedly do that for 2 solid minutes, and each time it's only about a 7-second clip. While switching frequencies each time is unknown, that could possibly be them just trying to test out different radio stations, see which one works. Yeah, the voice clip itself is from the 1950 theatrical short Bunker Hill Bunny, in which Yosemite Sam plays a mercenary in the American Revolution. Nobody really knows for 100% fact what that short has to do in correlation, because Yosemite Sam has said, "Varmint, I'm going to blow you to smithereens," and other shorts as well, like other Looney Tunes shorts.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody really knows what that has to do with anything. It could just be because it sounded the best. And then on top of that, yeah, pretty much the one quote, it doesn't have anything to do with the location either near Albuquerque, but a lot of people pointed out that one of Bugs Bunny's most famous quotes besides "What's up, Doc?" is, "I must have taken a wrong turn over at Albuquerque. I can't do that good of a Bugs Bunny voice." But it is located right near Albuquerque. So a lot of people think like, oh, that's kind of strange. That's one of Bugs Bunny's favorite lines. And then it's also right near Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah.
And then you actually can hear them up on YouTube right now. The transmission is no longer going out. It kind of went up and down for a couple years, but it's no longer going on anymore. But you can find some of the people recorded on YouTube. They're very much on there. And it really is just the sound of Yosemite Sam yelling, static. Yosemite Sam yelling, static, and it keeps changing frequencies. It is very scary because it feels like you're listening to something you probably should not be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very strange. And 2 radio DJs in New Mexico said that they found a mysterious building, and they found what is a security guard over in like an industrial complex. And when they went there, they said that there was a security guard who was telling them to like, get away. You have to go right now. You got to go. But here's the thing. Their claims of that are completely unsubstantiated. And they also said that when they went back to the location, it was gone, which it definitely 100% was not. So I think they're really just saying that for clout. I don't trust radio DJs. I don't trust anybody I can't see the face of. And a lot of people can't see my face. I don't trust myself. But it really does just sound like something you should not be listening to. But nobody really knows the reason for it. Some people have said that, because it can't really be a spy station. A spy station is what that number station we stated earlier, in which they'll say like a bunch of random numbers and people think like, oh, maybe it's meant for a spy who's deciphering those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what they actually, spy stations were actually needed in different parts of history for different reasons. So they actually were a real thing. But with this Yosemite Sam station, there's no numbers they're revealing. And as such, it's just kind of a very strange radio station. Nobody really knows the purpose of it.
Maybe it's like a sleeper cell thing. Like, can you imagine that you're a sleeper agent and your wake-up word is, "I'm going to blow you to smithereens!"
Must kill Abraham Lincoln. Oh,
yeah. Fuck!
Like, you're driving down the road and you're just, like, activated.
Definitely
get activated watching Looney Tunes reruns on TV.
Well, there was this other weird one, because there really is nothing more to say about that. It is very strange. It's very weird. But there's really no nobody could really even theorize a purpose behind it other than maybe somebody was trying to test out radio stations. They're like, well, I have this specific clip from Looney Tunes from a 1950 theatrical short, which is outdated even in like the 1970s.
Yeah.
But nobody really has any idea. But the next one I find a bit creepier is called the Gong Station, because this one, it has no numbers or anything. It just all of it, you can find this on YouTube as well. It'll just all of a sudden like start with static. And then it sounds like your dad and his golfing buddies tried to start a band together, which is like really bad because it'll be like a gong. And then all of a sudden you hear like, but like they're not speaking in any language. I'm not making fun of any language right here. They just sound like, and they like hit the gong again. They hit the gong again.
Are you about to activate some sleeper agents on this podcast?
It's kind of like,
I really am.
It sounds like the TikTok speech to text lady after you type in the letter H a bunch of times, and then she tries to talk and it breaks her. That's what it sounds like you're doing.
Yeah, I'm very good at gibberish. I can, but here's the thing: I messed up the Yosemite Sam because I tried reading from a list. I realized I can't read. I have to remember.
It's okay. I'm illiterate too.
I can't read from a list. I'm like, well, this is bullshit. Because I tried adding jokes there. I'm like, I'm not good at jokes, and I have them written down. I just gotta fucking talk for a couple minutes.
I'm not good at jokes, he says, as if he hasn't been the funniest goddamn person we've ever talked with.
Well, thank you.
You're the only person we've ever talked with, but you know what?
You're the funniest person this podcast has ever had, including the two of us.
And if I can help it, I'm the only person that's ever going to be on this podcast.
Our bonus episodes are just going to be us sitting in a room with Tyler, and wherever it happens, whatever happens. Like your bonus episodes, like we don't know what's going to happen.
Kevin, do you want to recreate Goop Lab? You can just say you want to recreate Goop Lab with Tyler.
Well, it's listen, Goop Lab. There was a couple good episodes, I will say. Like there was a couple, but a couple of them were like bad. It was bad. Oh, I could talk about Goop Lab for a long time, and I will on our next episode when we do the follow up episode. But
yeah. You know, joke's on you guys, because next time you guys have me on, I'm not going to prepare a damn thing. I'm going to be eating like a push pop and be like, you guys ever think about like clouds? Fucked up, right? And then that's the entire episode.
Well, it's good to know though, because me and Nora have also talked about like, we're going to do some guests as a special episode. But we also want to do like, did you ever watch the Jenna and Julian podcast?
I don't believe I have, no. It sounds familiar, but I don't
They just do random shit.
It's so Jenna Marbles and Julian and her boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say those names sounded like I've heard that in unison. But
so me and Nora have talked about as for podcast episodes, just doing random shit or like after, you know, we have some bonus episodes where you have people on, but other stuff we're going to do guess that recipe or you can make a trivia show. Like we'll have use for you, I think. I think you'll be a very good friend of the show, TM, because I feel like you can make very good content.
Did you just say something, Tyler?
Oh, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, there we go. Okay, I just saw your lips move, and then I didn't hear noise, and I was like, oh, no. I'm
so pissed that I'm starting to talk about these dumb radio stations.
The sleeper agents are out to get you.
Well, I will say, the gong station is extremely good, because you really just gong, and then gong. I'm also really good at backwards talking, which is, yes, I'm with it. I don't even know, but either way.
Did I just have a stroke?
Unlocked talent.
I'm incredible, but only at dumb things, which really sucks.
Hey, you know what?
Welcome to Useless the Podcast, Tyler.
Literally.
Sucks, man. But I will say, God damn it, it sucks being me. I've never made a mistake, and I'm flawless, and I'm good at everything.
Correct.
But I will say, I'll read one more, but I will say the Gong Station is very creepy to check out because Yosemite Sam's weird where it doesn't have a purpose, because a number station does have a purpose. They actually were used. Some of them still run. Number stations, they were actually used like years and years ago, and they just have never been shut off, so they're just still running, which is kind of creepy because it's like a ghost station, but they were meant to be given to like spies out on the field. Yosemite Sam is not seemingly meant for anything, and the Gong Station most definitely is not meant for anything, because it really is just people hitting a gong and then gibbering and jabbering like I don't know, like how I did right then. Spot on accurate. But then I will say the last one, it's kind of just more funny than anything. It's called the Backwards Music Station. And I got so excited because I thought I would just play a bunch of – oh, sorry, everybody paused. I just played a bunch of backwards music, and I got so fucking horny just for that idea. I was like, I'm just going to play, like, some backwards, like, fucking 3 days grace and it's going to be awful. Is this going to be so great? But it is just like, it sounds like a whale going through an organ grinder. And it's not fun. It's just like, because the other ones, they kind of, you listen to them, you're like, ooh, this is intriguing. This one is just. All day and night. It runs for a very long period of time. Nobody knows where it's from. So people think that it's possibly Russia. Because I think on like two separate occasions, you hear like, people have heard like Russian in the background very occasionally. But other than that, again, there's no numbers that are going. Nobody speaks about anything in particular. It's just. It sounds like the little Cockney boy I keep right by my side. Isn't that right, Cockney John? And he's like, what out there, mister? Don't worry about me. But I really thought I would get more because I wrote so much about them. But here's the thing. I can read, but I cannot talk about it. Because then I'm just like, oh, well, in 1972, there was. I'm like, just shut the fuck up, me. Listen to me, you fucking beautiful big pile of man. You just got to fucking just say what's in your heart. And what's in your heart, sure, there's probably enough fat to clog a whale. But, I mean, you just got to be you. And I'm like, you know what? Thanks, me. Can I just say you're looking really trim today? And he's like, just stop it. You're not really saying that. I'm like, I mean it, though. We need to reignite a passion that we once had. And then I turned to me. I grabbed my jaw. It's more supple than usual. Anyway, did you guys know I don't know what my zodiac sign is?
When How?
No, I've never cared to look.
What's your birthday?
No, but like just knowing the people we went to college with, how did that like?
It's crazy, man. Nobody's ever like been like, oh, Tyler, you're a blankety blank blank, and I'm like, yeah, man. Or maybe somebody's told me before, but I didn't listen.
Okay, what?
Because like you're friends with Muff.
What year were you born?
1997.
I think you're an Aries, which like, yeah, I would have pegged you as an Aries or a Sagittarius. April 3rd.
Yeah.
April 3rd, 1997. Aries. God damn, that makes a lot of sense. Like, not to be confirmation bias here, but, like, I would have pegged you as, like, an Aries or a Sagittarius.
Aries,
yeah.
Sounds like. You know what? I will say.
Chaotic as shit? Yeah.
Now somebody has said. Oh, see, that's what. I get. I'm like, if somebody calls somebody else or me chaotic, I get so happy. But the amount of times I just wanted to fight violence with violence. And my violence would be physical. Their violence is more emotional towards me. But when anybody, I've heard somebody go like, I have pretty chaotic energy. And then they put their hands behind their head like an anime character. And I want to go to their house and set their curtains on fire. And they're like, why'd you set my curtains on fire? I'm like, I thought you said you're chaotic. You should like this shit.
I have chaotic energy.
On my level.
It makes me so, it's one of the most anger-ridden parts of my life because I just met somebody go like, you know, I have pretty chaotic energy. And I'm like, I will fucking eat your desk. Do you understand that? I will go to your fucking house. I will eat your cat like it's the goddamn Christmas dinner.
That's the second time you've said that you're going to eat someone's desk. Are you okay?
It's the best threat, man. Because if I say I'm going to beat somebody up, they're going to be like, you're not going to beat me up. If I say I'm going to eat your desk, they're like, no, you won't. I'm like, oh, you want to fucking watch me do it? And I fucking
okay, let's
get
talk.
That butter and mustard slather on there.
Butter and mustard?
Yeah. Oh. I hate mustard, but you know what? It helps. Hey, mustard's better of a taste than mahogany. So
mustard is really good for Charlie horses. If you ever get a Charlie horse, take a spoonful of mustard, yellow mustard.
That sounds like a wife's tale.
It's high in potassium.
I feel so like if I give
my grandmother used to do it all the fucking time. I feel she like got I'm such like, bad Charlie horses.
Is a trailer horse, is that a specific kind of horse, or is that just a horse that does go in a trailer? That's a genuine question.
No, a Charlie horse is like when you get a really bad cramp in your leg.
I thought I heard a trailer horse. That's my bad. I
was Tyler, like, do you know what time you were born?
Man, it was like 2:28 in the morning or something like that.
2:28. And what
he's city? Gonna look up your entire chart now that you said you didn't know.
What city?
I was born in Columbus, Ohio.
And what's your social security number?
Also, what are like the digits on your card?
Your mom's maiden name?
Oh, I was fully gonna say it's 688.
Street that you grew up on?
First pet?
Childhood best friend?
He's been trying to answer. We are protecting your personal information by asking for more. Let's see. I just want to see your big three.
Big three what?
So you're Aries, Sun in Aries, Moon in Aquarius, Ascendant in... Where's that at on here? Capricorn.
So like, and Cancer almost across the board.
Without like some sort...
Without getting like super deep into it, Aries is like who you... Like your Sun is like who you are, kind of like your main personality. On the outside, your Moon is like your emotional state. And then your Capricorn or your Ascendant is like how you present to the world. And then there's like all the different planets and like the houses of like 1 through 12. I don't get all of that. I don't really know, but the big...
Hey, I'm a Cancer. Emotionally, I'm a Cancer. I present as a Cancer. I gave my mom Cancer. I'm Cancer across the board.
I forgot.
How can we laugh at that? You Nora! I'm all for trauma dumping, but what the fuck?
Even I was like, oh no. But the worst part is that joke was structured so well.
I know. Give
credit. But you know what? I will say this. I forgot that Cancer was was like an actual astrology sign. So I was like, yeah, Nora, what does that mean? It's scaring me.
I'm Aquarius. My Moon is in Scorpio and my Ascendant is Aquarius. So basically, a big thing about Aquarius is that we don't have a great handle on emotions. Like, we're not very emotional people. Except the sign about my emotions is Scorpio, which is one of the most emotional signs. So it's like, what's wrong with me? Mental illness.
Oh,
no. Yeah.
This deep dive into astrology has been fun. But do you have anything else for us on weird radio stations? Because this...
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
There's a long number of them. I wish I came up with more, because I was like, I'm going to choose those three because the amount that I wrote, I was like, I'll read that off, because I knew for a fact, I goddamn knew. I'm like, if I just talk, I'm not going to be able to get through even one of them. So I wrote explicit descriptions out of each one, and they sounded very intelligent. And I even, like, I didn't copy and paste. I made sure to write that freehand. But you know what?
I wasn't born.
Yeah, it was. But here's the thing. That's what I'm going to be talking about next time. I'll bring on and I'll read you guys one paragraph and you guys can tell me whether or not it's great or horrible.
Oh, dramatic reading. No, we take a dramatic reading. We do an excerpt from 50 Shades, an excerpt from Tyler. We have to figure out which one's which.
Have you ever heard of the podcast My Dad Wrote a Porno?
Oh, no, I have not.
What the fuck?
It's someone discovered that their dad wrote a porno and they read it on a podcast. Our friend wrote a porno. The whole podcast is us just reading. No, it's like a really popular podcast. Oh. But our whole podcast is just going to be us reading your smuts once I find it.
Here's the thing.
Worked for a man who worked on a porno.
You did work for a man?
I worked for a man who worked on a porno. He made set pieces. I'll just say it that way.
Was he proud of them?
Set pieces?
Oh, yeah. He was proud of it.
What do you mean set pieces? Like
he made set pieces for a porno, and I don't want to get much more into it.
Wait, like BDSM porno?
I don't want to get much more into it.
Well, when you say set pieces, I want to know, like, is this like we're on Batu and Star
it was,
Wars?
It was a like Top a... Gun porn parody.
Oh, because like if you say set pieces, it's either like really intricate sexual devices, or it's like this is a parody of SpongeBob where Sandy Cheeks is Sandy Cheeks, you know? Okay, so he made set pieces for for Top Gun. I hate it.
It was like a Top Gun or like Super Spy, something like that. But either way, I was like,
international.
What would
Super Spy
Top Gun be? Would it be like Top Fun?
I feel like it would be Top Gun or Top Cum. Or Top Gun XXX, something like that, you know?
Because I was thinking Top Fun, like, you know, top and bottom. Oh,
Top
that.
Fun, you know, was it gay or was it like, what kind of porn was it? Do you know?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
It was heterosexual.
Okay. I mean, still tops and bottoms consist in heterosexual relationships.
I mean, there were some bi scenes, but, you know, just like the male gaze of women.
Top Fun would be really good for a gay porn. Write that down, Tyler.
I'm really scared because I think you guys should be more afraid than you are, because I think you guys are thinking it's going to be a fun time, but you guys are going to be enthralled by my prose. It's going to be like,
we're going to have to turn cameras off.
I came for the porn, but I'm here for the character development.
Like, Tyler, I just got to say, your dialogue is fantastic. Sure, he is drowning in the stuff. You know what I'm saying? But I got to say.
It's Dripper Drown season, and I do not have an umbrella.
I really loved your analogy to York from the original. I'm like, and then I fucking don't even remember what goddamn play York's from. Fuck Shakespeare.
So, Tyler, before this gets any more deranged, where can people find you on the internet?
You guys can find me on, this is where I give up my special page where I keep everything.
Yeah. No. Or if you, whatever you want to share, if you don't want random.
If you want followers on like Instagram, Twitter, whatever. Yeah. I know you also have your own podcast in the works.
Yes, I do. I have one called Premium Beef. I came up with that name in 3 seconds.
It's really good.
Where I talk about things I hate. And I really want you guys to come on the show. I have 3 episodes prepared. I want to get to 4. The only reason why is because I know if I made one and I'd be like, oh, I'm going to come up with next week. I know for a fact I'll always be behind. I just want to have like a good backlog just so I'm not worried.
That's us.
Because I'm always behind. And then like in school, I was always behind. So I'm like, this time I'm actually going to prepare. Mm-hmm. But I will say I'm really excited because it's just me talking about things I hate. And I would really be so happy if you guys came on and just talk about things you hate. And I don't mean like, I don't know, people are going to be like, Tyler, you could use this to talk about serious things. I'm like, no, this is where I'm going to talk about how much I fucking hate when I listen to people talk about D&D and they're like, my character, he is a fortress of solitude. I'm like, if he's not hot, I don't care to fucking listen to him.
Everyone in D&D is hot and at least a little gay. That's what everyone's we play has to tables. Be.
Everyone's title just has to be like, oh, this is Vitrakis. He's the slut of the group. And then it has to be. If that's not every character, I'm not into it. But I will say, just things like that. I talk about how much I fucking hate clouds. And it's just me talking about clouds. And it's surprisingly eloquent. Way better than I ever had thought possible. I was like, this is going to turn into fucking hot garbage within about 38 and a half seconds. But no.
Good.
Not bad. So, you know what? I am
I mean, really I could happy. Do an episode about dolphins. I can rant about dolphins all fucking day. I hate those fuckers.
I'd be more than happy for you to come on and talk about dolphins. Oh, yeah. Just fucking, I will fucking, I don't know, I'll get a blow up dolphin. We'll just beat the shit out of it with a bat.
I feel like I can come up with something good.
Oh, you guys, I'm here's the thing. When you ask somebody when you ask what they like, they're like, huh, I don't know. But when you say, what do you hate? They're like, ugh. It's never anything serious. It's always like, I hate potatoes because I hate the way they're textured. Even if that's as simple as that, I'd be happy. But yeah, I have a couple episodes prepared. And then if anybody else wants to find me, probably the best place to contact me now. I do have a Tumblr. I use it very occasionally, but the best is probably my Twitter. It's at Tyler and all that. That's my name. But yeah, you guys can find me on there. I think at some point in the future, if the podcast goes anywhere, I may post some writing and stuff. But at the moment, I'm just excited to have any sort of online presence. I ghosted for about a year and a half, so I'm happy to be back on and be good. So yeah, I'm so happy you guys had me on here. I really did have a lot of fun. I do listen to your guys' podcasts whenever it comes out. So I'm happy I'm going to have to listen to all those podcasts that Kevin pointed out. I'm so desperate for any sort of new podcast or audiobook. I've listened to like 4 audiobooks and they've all been horrible. So,
have you listened to Ellis Isn't Dead?
Yes, I have listened to that. I listened to the whole season about 2 months ago. I was blown away by that. I was really happy about that.
It's really good.
No, that one was so good. I really, the storyline to that was fantastic. I love serial drama. So if anybody has any good recommendations to me, I will slurp them up through a straw. I am so happy.
When we eventually get famous and go on tour, do you want to go on tour with us?
Absolutely. I'd be more than happy to.
Cool. And we're also planning
on starting a podcasting network.
Yeah,
a podcast collective. Premium Beef, useless.
Nora's going to be the CEO. We've already decided.
I'm the
gonna
boss.
Be,
Girl boss.
CFO or Mark. No, Ben was going to be the CFO. I'm going to be the marketing manager / COO. So, you know.
Yeah, you could be marketing.
I'll just be the talent. I'm pretty enough to be able
You are employee.
I'm the employee.
Associate.
I will say, I already have a perfect name.
Oh, no.
He didn't want us to know the name. He's being selfish.
No.
We lost you.
You had the perfect name.
I had the perfect name.
That sucks so bad because I was like, now it sounds like I just made it up. I fucking just pulled it out of my ass, but I was going to say Overcast because we shade out the competition.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. Podcast
network.
Well, Tyler, our very, very last question for you to lead into our outro. Have you rated and reviewed us on the iTunes store yet?
Kevin.
No, I have not.
Cool. You want to do that for us right now?
Kevin, stop bullying my friends. Hey,
so if you guys want to find us, Nora, do you want to tell them where to find us?
Yeah, you can find us at Useless the Podcast on... that's incorrect. UselessThePodcast@gmail.com is our email. You can send us recommendations, fun facts, corrections, all that fun stuff. You can also find us at Useless_podcast on Twitter. We also have a Twitch now. We don't have anything up yet, but we plan to soon. Useless the Gamers. And we have an Instagram, I think.
Yeah, we don't have to put that in yet. We just went out and claimed.
We claimed our name where we could.
And Tyler, would you like to tell them the most important thing they can do to help us grow?
Review and
subscribe. Rate on the iTunes store, even if you don't have iTunes. And don't worry, I plan on doing this to every single guest we have as our little outro. So yeah, even if you don't have iTunes, if you know you have an Android or whatever, if you can just go onto the Apple store, rate us. You know, you don't have to do 5 stars, but anything under 5 stars will hurt me a little more each time.
I did out right now. I'm going to rate you guys.
Good. Hell yeah. Hold your friends hostage, baby. Review us. Give us a rating. And yeah, tell your friends about us. That helps us the most. And yeah, so we can continue doing what we love.
You guys. It really was super fun to be on the show. I'm really honored you guys asked me. If you ever want me back, trust me when I say I got nothing definitely. Going on.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be a very good neutral party. Like, for example, if we ever want to do like a content court where me and Nora, you know, debate each other, I think you'd be a good judge. Like, you'll definitely be a very good friend of the show, I feel like.
Oh, thank you. And I will definitely, the moment the podcast is out, as soon as I get, like, I'm hoping about 10 episodes is when I'm going to start letting guests on. So as soon as that happens, you guys are going to be the first ones on, because I feel like you guys would be a perfect way to it's just a ranting show. And that's what the world
needs. That's perfect for us.
Premium Beef is just a positive show about negativity, and that's what everybody needs.
I love that. Cool. One last thing I'd like to start doing. I know I've mentioned it in the past, but I would like to end with a final fun fact. That final fun fact is corn grows faster at night to the point that you can hear it. Anyway, stay useless.
Nora, you pissed me off.